You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, last week, I got your attention, didn't I? And just as the message got hot, we had to exit the program. Time had run out. You know, time is a measure for only us lowly beings. Yahweh does not even need the measure of time. He does that for our benefit, I believe. Not sure, but I think it's just for our ability to measure our lives and the times that he has ordained. The title of this message is The Mystery of the Serpent, Part 2. Now, I want to discuss a couple of things before we go into the message, as usual, because these are important type things that just come across. And I was looking at a video today about the Quran and who the god of the Quran is, and I already knew it was Halel or Lucifer, or they call him Hubal, but his name is really Baal, which goes right back to Halel and Lucifer. And it's funny that the devil, Satan, wishes to have a world full of brown people. Yes, that's the goal of his regime. He wishes to get rid of Yahweh's offspring, the Adamic people, and he wishes to mix all the other races until there's only one race. And he calls that diversity, when in reality there'll be no diversity in his wished kingdom, because it will never happen. You see, the white race, the Adamic race, is the most diverse race of all the races. Just go to the different countries of Europe, and you'll see all kinds of diversity. Now, I'm not talking about right this moment. I'm talking about when they were white countries. Satan's diversity is genocide for us, as we all know. And this is his goal, you see, because he can control these brown people. He can't control the Adamic race, all of us. You see, he can control some, and has. But when we are Yahweh's offspring, and we know Yahweh's voice, we are a threat to his so-called kingdom. So we see these Muslims, and they're easily moved about by this religion that the Jews set up. And of course the Catholic religion usually has a church right next to the mosque, which tells you that Babylon is Babylon is Babylon is Babylon. Now we've talked about the Muslim god. They call him Allah, but his real name is Hubal or Baal or Halel or Satan. And then, or Lucifer, which is the Latinized term. Okay, but now let's look at another religion. Let's look at the religion of the Talmud, or the religion of the Jews, which has nothing to do with the Bible. They have admitted that their god is Lucifer, another Babylonian entity. Yes. And then let's look at another religion in the world, the Catholic religion, which is a pagan religion mixed with elements, sprinkled with elements of Christianity. And who is their God? Well, guess who their God is? Guess who this Pope... I've told you this before on my news show. I've told you this before on this show. The Pope declared Lucifer God. And he said Jesus is his son. Ah, the fools of the world. So that's three of the top religions right there. All have the same God. Now let's look at another religion, Freemasonry. When you get to the top, and if you are asked to come down to Washington, D.C., to be given the 33rd degree, according to Masonry, when you link up with, when you are the 33rd degree, you are linked with the spiritual king of this world. And just take a guess who that might be. Why, it's the same God, fake God, little God, not really a God at all, really just an angel who's pretending he's God. And then, if you were to go to many of the other religions, whether it's Hindu, the Hindu religion or any of them, guess who their gods, who the God is? The same God. It seems that there's only one, and I don't call it religion. You see, if you look at the Christian religion today, which is the Jewish version of Christianity, their gods are Satan's offspring, the Jews. They don't know the Father. So therefore, Judeo-Christianity in reality has the same God as all these other religions. But there are a remnant. And I don't call us a religion. There's a remnant, the true Christianity. And guess who their God is? No, it's not Lucifer. It's Yahweh. The only God. The Most High. You understand? The one that Satan, their God, all these other religions have to answer to. They have to answer to our God. Their so-called God has to answer to our God. Yet they claim they're equal with us in all manners and forms. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just not the way it is. Think about what I'm saying. It just dawned on me what I'm telling you. I'm not saying that none of you could have figured that out. I'm just saying that I'm spelling it out to you. Is there any doubt in what I'm saying? The Jews told you themselves that they admitted that Lucifer is their God. And we know that they are the offspring, because Yeshua told us that. They are the offspring of Cain. Who is the offspring of the fallen angel. And so, do you see what we're up against? Now, I'm not trying to put you in fear. I mean, we even have the satanic religion who pretends there's no Satan, but yet it has everything to do with Satan. And then you have the Mormon church and the Jehovah Witnesses. It's the same God. They're worshiping the same gods as all the other religions. They're not worshiping Yahweh. As a matter of fact, the Mormon church does the first three degrees of Freemasonry. And then if you go to another religion, the Baha'i religion, you'll find out that Satan is their God. There really is only one so-called religion and one so-called people that have the God, the true God, the only real God, and that is Yahweh. All the other religions have this other pretend God with their pretend offspring trying to pretend that they worship our God. They're all pretending pretty much to worship our God, right? They're all trying to pretend that if you go to any of the... What is the Pope trying to do currently? He's trying to join all the religions together. And they have one God. Yes, they do. He's not a real God. He's an angel who fell. He's a wannabe God. He wishes he could be Yahweh. He wishes he had the power Yahweh has. You understand? So they want to unite as they're trying to wipe Yahweh's true remnant, Yahweh's true offspring, off of the planet. How's that for the big picture for you, ladies and gentlemen? While you're worried about the Illuminati, and you're worried about the elite, I'm telling you what's really going on here. This is the big picture. You see, even when you go to the UN and you go into Lucifer Publishing Company, which is now called Lucius Trust, which has their ties to theosophy, as I've told you, their God is also Lucifer. They're waiting for this Christ, they call him. They're waiting for a Christ, not Yeshua Christ. They're waiting for a Christ. You remember Benjamin, what was his name there? He was always talking about how the Maitreya was going to come, okay? This is the Christ. They're waiting for the Christ. The Christ being a title. So there's your perspective where we are in the world today. See, these things were hidden in times past, but these things are in the open now. There's something very strange about the Catholic religion, is no matter when you talk to them and try to tell them the truth, they sometimes will get angry, but there's others of them that will listen to you. But when you're done with the whole thing, it seems they're just going to continue in Catholicism. It doesn't matter how many Jewish priests pretend they're Catholics and then rape little children. It doesn't matter if the Pope says homosexuality is fine in the church and that God has changed. It doesn't matter if he says that it's okay for communists to be in their religion, when it's always been communist and always succeeded in the communist countries. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all right in front of your face. You see, this is all hidden in plain sight. And either you can see it or you can't. They're going to remain Catholics, many of them. They don't care when Yahweh says, do not pray with a hat on. When Yahweh says, do not pray repetitive prayers because you're just praying in vain. They'll sit there and do 5,000 Hail Marys anyway. They don't care what Yahweh says because Yahweh is not their God. They do not know the voice of Yahweh, have never known the voice of Yahweh, and sadly, probably never will. Now, let me go on to something here that's very interesting. I'm going to go over the reason for the word kike again. Reason why I'm doing this is because it has to do with B.F. Jackson's Mystery of the Serpent. Okay? Now, this will show you that... Now, B.F. Jackson is telling you that these are the people of the serpent. And they have admitted this in the protocols Learned Elders of Zion, the protocols, in protocol number 3, that they are the people of the serpent, the Jews. And remember, I will remind you again, that on February 5th, 1949, in the Shriners Auditorium in Los Angeles, the Jews were in there and they thought it was an all-Jew audience. And at that time, they admitted that the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion were Jewry's own plans, a conspiracy against God and man. They admitted that they were the children of the serpent. So, Kike, let me show you how this proves that they are the children of the serpent. I'll just do this very quickly. I believe it was Ellis Island or whatever it was when Jews were coming into this country and they couldn't speak English, so they're asked to sign with an X. Now, the Jews being a complaining people that complain about everything and anything that can possibly be, they complained, they were offended by that and said it reminded them of the cross of Jesus Christ. So, they began to sign with a circle. Now, the circle did not offend them. But what the circle is in Yiddish, not Hebrew, circle is keikel. Keikel. And so therefore, I would say that means the Ouroboros snake. It also means, you know, it's the snake who eats his tail. This is proving to you that they are the children of the snake. They are not the children of Yeshua Christ. See, if you have rejected the Son, you have not the Father. So there's the proof that they don't have the same Father as we do. And I've already proven that in John chapter 8. I have a unique teaching in John chapter 8 that will prove very, very clearly that the Jews have a different Father than we have, or that Yeshua has. Okay? So keikel means circle. It means the Ouroboros snake. They are the people of the snake. There's where the name Kike came from. So you could just say Kike actually means snake. Couldn't you? Let's step to the next thing. Before I read this, this was so important to me when I saw this that I felt I should impart it to you before we go into the mystery of the serpent. It's all relative anyway. Anything I'm speaking about right now is all relative to the people of the snake, the children of the flame. As we are the children of the water, they are the children of the flame. One of the reasons that the children of the flame like to get cremated is because they have a saying that says, and I'm repeating myself, we came from the flame, we return to the flame. Okay, now I'm going to read this to you now. The Jew by Joseph Goebbels, whatever you want to say. Everything is discussed openly in Germany, and every German claims the right to have an opinion on any and all questions. One is Catholic, the other Protestant, one an employee, the other an employer, a capitalist, a socialist, a democrat, an aristocrat. There is nothing dishonorable about choosing one side or the other of a question. Discussions happen in public, and where matters are unclear or confused, one settles it by argument and counter-argument. But there is one problem that is not discussed publicly. One that it is delicate even to mention. The Jewish question. It is taboo in our republic. You see, they had a republic too. And now they have a democracy. I keep telling you that democracy is the vilest form of government. It's the Jews' favorite form of government. And they wanted to get rid of all the monarchies so they could bring this form of government in, even if it started as a republic. We see now that we are spreading this form of government throughout the world, and we are bombing people into the Stone Age to make sure that they are free and have this form of government, because it's the Jews' favorite form of government, and their father knows that he can control the whole world through the central bank scheme and this form of government. Let me go on. The Jew is immunized against all dangers. One may call him a scoundrel, parasite, swindler, profiteer. It all runs off him like water off a raincoat. But call him a Jew, and you will be astonished at how he recoils, how injured he is, how he suddenly shrinks back. I've been found out. One cannot defend himself against the Jew. He attacks with lightning speed from his position of safety. Isn't that what a serpent does? Listen again. He attacks with lightning speed from his position of safety. And he said he recoils when you call him a Jew. Get it? He attacks with lightning speed from his position of safety and uses his abilities to crush any attempt at defense. Quickly, he turns the attacker's charges back on him, and the attacker becomes the liar, the troublemaker, the terrorist. Listen, this is in Goebbels' time, not right now. We didn't have a war on terror then, did we? The terrorist. Nothing could be more mistaken than to defend oneself. That is just what the Jew wants. In other words, the Jew wants to put you on the defensive. So when you speak with a Jew, you make sure that you're on the attack. These are my words, and I believe he's going to tell you the same thing. Don't get on the defensive in an argument. Be on the offense. He can invent a new lie every day for the enemy to respond to. And the result is that the enemy spends so much time defending himself that he has no time to do what the Jew really fears, to attack. The accused has become the accuser. And loudly he shoves the accuser into the dock. So it always was in the past when a person or movement fought the Jew. That is what would happen to us as well were we not fully aware of his nature and if we lacked the courage to draw the following radical conclusions. Number one, one cannot fight the Jew by positive means. He is negative, and this negative must be erased from the German system or he will forever corrupt it. And that goes for all of our countries. As long as you have Jews in your nation, you will be in trouble. Now, there is one exception, the Byzantine Empire, where they didn't allow them to be involved in educating our children, educating their children, or being involved in government or banking or things like that. And that kept it in check and made the empire last a long time. But generally speaking, as long as you have Jews in your nation, there will be no peace in your nation. Okay, number two. One cannot discuss the Jewish question with the Jews. One can hardly prove to a person that one has the duty to render him harmless. Number three. One cannot allow the Jew the same means one would give an honest opponent. For he is no honorable opponent. He will use generosity and nobility only to trap his enemy. Number four, the Jew has nothing to say about German questions. He is a foreigner, an alien, who only enjoys the rights of a guest, rights that he always abuses. The so-called religious morality of the Jews is no morality at all, rather an encouragement to betrayal. Therefore, they have no claim to protection from the state. And yet they do it all the time, don't they? Number six, the Jew, and I've told you this, the Jew is not smarter than we are. Rather, only cleverer and craftier. His system cannot be defeated economically. He follows entirely different moral principles than we do. It can only be broken through political means. Well, it can be broken another way, too, through spiritual means. Number seven, a Jew cannot insult a German. Jewish slanders are but badges of honor for a German opponent of the Jews. Number eight, the more a German person or German movement opposes the Jew, the more valuable it is. If someone is attacked by the Jews, that is a sure sign of his virtue. I agree 100%. He who is not persecuted by the Jews or who is praised by them is useless and dangerous. Couldn't agree more. Number nine. Notice how Tex Mars is not... I know we're on his case lately, but it's because we would like him to repent and join and tell the truth, finally. Notice how he's not attacked by the Jews, yet he talks about them all the time. He's a much more public person than we are. He says he's attacked, but we don't see any evidence of it, do we? We see somebody like Victor Thorne get killed, right? Or Edgar Steele, we see those kind of people get killed, right? So, number nine, the Jew evaluates German questions from the Jewish standpoint. As a result, the opposite of what he says must be true. That's just like when Obama speaks. He's out trying to say how Hillary's a liar and everything else. Here's a guy who everything he says is the opposite of what he said. Number 10. One must either affirm or reject anti-Jewishism. Let me read it again. One must either affirm or reject anti-Jewishism. He who defends the Jews harms his own people. Are you hearing that, liberal idiot? Are you hearing that, Judeo-Christian? He who defends the Jews harms his own people. Are you hearing that, Mr. Tex Mars, who says the Jews can be saved? In one side of his face, he's talking about how the Jews are the snake people and confirms everything I'm saying here. On the other side of his face, he says Jews can be saved. Do you think, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh wants to save devils? If he wanted to save a devil, he would have saved Lucifer, wouldn't he? Or Halel? Wouldn't he? I mean, after all, he was a perfect being at one point. He's a creation of Yahweh. Would he not have wanted to save that devil? No, he wouldn't. The devil received his judgment, and now he's down here. He cannot leave this planet until the time appointed when he and his offspring and all the traitors will be bound up and thrown into the lake of fire. Let me continue. I'm going to read 10 again. One must either affirm or reject anti-Jewishism. He who defends the Jew harms his own people. One can only be a Jewish lackey or a Jewish opponent. Opposing the Jews is a matter of personal hygiene. You see, Mr. Mars, one can only be a Jewish lackey or a Jewish opponent. You can't be both, and you are both. Do you understand? One of the reasons we're on your case is because we know you know what the truth is, and we want you to forget about your books. You can write all the books you want, but it's time to start really telling the truth. You should know that you don't need to fear. If you're on Yahweh's side, you're an old enough man at this point to jump off that fence. You can't be a Jew lackey and a Jew opponent. It's one or the other. So it continues on. We're almost done with this. These principles give the anti-Jewish movement a chance of success. Only such a movement will be taken seriously by the Jews. Only such a movement will be feared by them. The fact that he shouts and complains about such a movement, therefore, is only a sign that it is right. I couldn't agree more. We are therefore delighted that we are constantly attacked in the Jewish gazettes. They may shout about terror. We answer with Mussolini's famous words, "Terror? Never. It's social hygiene. We take these individuals out of circulation just as a doctor does to bacterium." Bravo. Bravo. Well said. Well written. Very precise. And no wasting of words, ladies and gentlemen. No wasting of words whatsoever. You know, it's not always how much you say. It's the quality of what you say and the content. Now let us move along. I'm sure you enjoyed that. I certainly did. That's my second read through that, and I understand it even clearer than I did before. Okay. It's very exciting. This whole thing is very, very exciting. Okay, we were talking about Shaitan, the serpent, and his body, his world body, which are comprised of many Jews. I'm going to start right here. If you're reading The Mystery of the Serpent with me, it's on page 6. The last paragraph. The axis of Shaitan's spinal column are two princes of the Jews and one roving ambassador. Now, I had said last week that that's possibly George Soros or Henry Kissinger, who answer to no one but the King of the Jews. And by the way, the King of the Jews has nothing to do with Yeshua or Yahweh. We're talking about the devil. Shaitan has 7 vertebrae in his backbone. His spinal cord has 1,000 nerve fibers. They are the Luciferian priesthood known by Christendom as the Learned Elders of Zion. They are equally divided between the Western and Eastern hemispheres. His nerve system is a 7x7 super secret organization known as the Kahilla. The vertebrae in his backbone are 7 offices from which emanate the nerve system, consisting of 7 ministers under 7 arc sensors. 7 times 7 equals 49 ministers. Under each minister are 7 heralds. 7 times 49 is 343 heralds. I explained to you last week what a herald was. Under each herald are 7 couriers. 7 times 343 equals 2,401 couriers. Under each courier are 7 scribes. 7 times 2,401 equals 16,807 scribes. Now remember, I told you I would explain this to you. Scribes can be anything from a newspaper writer, a book writer, a script writer for Hollywood, Jewish teachers, rabbis. You get the idea? A scribe. Okay? You know, somebody like Schofield. I'm sure he was one of the scribes of the Kahila. Under each scribe are 7 auditors. 7 times 16,807 is 117,649 auditors. Under each auditor are 7 mutes. 7 times 1, you know, you get it, are about 823,543 mutes. That doesn't mean they can't speak. Use your brain. With 500 Luciferian priests, the arch-censers, the king and princes, there are 961,301 Jews in each hemisphere, hemispherical Kahila section. Adding the 24 B'nai B'rith Jews and the 2 cabinets of the king and his co-regent and the roving ambassador, there are 1,922,627 Jews in the hemispherical brains and nerve system of Shaitan the Serpent. That cabal and the Jewish race are the brains, nerve system, teeth, claws, backbone, and body of Satan in the material plane. And their collective evilness is the devil and his demons in the spiritual plane. Tell me this is not super heavy and super revealing. You see why this is so important? You see, on the material plane, we have the body of Christ. Correct? And in the spiritual plane, we have Yahweh and his angels. Well, on the earth, you have the body of Shaitan. And in the spiritual plane, you have the devil with his demons. The hierarchy, you see. The one that Alice Bailey talked about. The externalization of the hierarchy. This is what CERN is about to try to do. Open up the porthole and let them into this material plane. This is what Jack Parsons was trying to do when he was blown up in his lab, praise be to Yahweh. And I hope CERN will be blown up in their lab as well. I hope that they will self-destruct. And I ask that in the mighty name of Yahweh. Okay. So, he continues. That is the talking snake who spiritually sabotaged our Adamic progenitors. It is a race of material vampires. Now, there's a confirmation right there. I told you Ben Franklin, he called the Jews Asiatics, which are Turco-Mongolian, and he called them a race of vampires. And he said that these vampires must live on the Christian society or the Christian world. Because if the vampires were to live among themselves, they couldn't do it. In other words, you're going to be told here the very definition in this book of why they have to race mix, why they cannot just live with their own people, because if they did, the race would stagger and die. Vampires cannot live on vampires, you understand? Vampires have to suck the fresh blood of the Adamic race, as you see with Bela Lugosi, the Jew. He's afraid of the cross, he's got a big hook nose, and he's always trying to suck some Adamic person's blood. It is a counterfeit race of devils not created by God. It is on display as such in Job 28:5, Psalms 88:10, Proverbs 2:18, 9:18, 21:6, Isaiah 14:9, and 26:9, in which the original Hebraic for the word dead is Rephaim, which means the shades of spiritual and material death. Jude 12 says that they are twice dead spiritually and materially, plucked up by the roots. Remember what Yeshua said, by the way. He said, any plant not planted by my Father shall be plucked up. And when they get plucked up, you know what happens. Here it is right here. You just said it again. Jude 12 says they are twice dead, spiritually and materially, plucked up by the roots. Then Mark 4:11, 12, 15, Luke 11:44, John 7:33, 34, 8, 43 through 47, you know, they're of the father of the devil, 9:27, and Acts 2:47, Hebrews 13:20, and Peter 2:4, 12, show that they are born spiritually dead from the womb. Spiritually dead from the womb. You wonder how these mafia people could just do all these hits without it hitting their conscience? Then they go to the Babylonian Catholic Church and pretend that they are Italians when they're really Jews, who are race-mixed Italians? Italians from the north of Italy have blonde hair and blue eyes. You see what a psyop it is when Hollywood brought these first people that came to, they didn't make any of them superstars. The Italians, the first people to come here from Italy were blonde hair and blue eyed. But the second ones were the ones they wanted to race mix with the Irish people, and many of them did. And these are Jews. They're called Dagos. They're from the south of Italy. And Eli and I have done this study to prove that they are Jews. I wondered why Italians had big hook noses, a lot of them. Now, I'm not saying every Italian is a race-mixed Jew. Obviously, the blonde-haired blue eyes aren't, but there may be some others that aren't either. This just depends, you know what I mean? But generally speaking, these people are born spiritually dead, you understand? So when they mix with the Italian, and then they bring them here through a Jewish Masonic lodge called the P2 Lodge, they took them out of the ghettos of Italy, and they brought them here. These are Sicilian Italians. They're Jews. They do hits. They kill people without any conscience at all. Because, obviously, they're born spiritually dead from the womb. Like the Jew. You see how the Jew can work the abortion table? I'm sure they're not wincing. I'm sure they're rejoicing. This is the best job in the world for the Jew. Not only have they made a law to make child ritual murder sacrifice legal, but they can drain the blood and sell the body parts as well. And they're killing the enemy of their father, the devil. What better of a job could there be for a Jew who has no conscience, who is born spiritually dead from the womb? So it continues. God put in man a certain genealogical power to cause the marrow of the bones to generate blood for the life of the flesh. Leviticus 17:11. Jewry lacks that power. Yes, there is a spark in our blood. There is a light that is in the Anglo-Saxon blood that is not in the Jew's blood. That is not in anyone else's blood, for that matter. There is a light that is in our blood. I know they tried to tell you that we're all the same and we all bleed red. Well, then why don't they put a dog's blood into you? A dog bleeds red too. No, our blood is much different. And the reason why the Jews got the hold of the Red Cross is so that they could control the blood. I know you've never heard it before that they... I know you've heard they wanted to control the food. I know you've heard that they wanted to control the oil, that they wanted to control everything, the government and all... But you never thought the fact that they also wanted to control the blood. Oh, yes, they do. And yes, they do control it. So, I'm going to read this again just because it's got to be put in your brain here. God put in man a certain genealogical power to cause the marrow of the bones to generate blood for the life of the flesh. Leviticus 17:11. Jewry lacks that power. He steals it from man. However, in mongrelization, do you understand now? Think about what he's saying, that they must race mix. They must mongrelize in order to remain healthy for the next generation. They must mongrelize. So when Netanyahu is telling you that the Jews should not be race mixing over there, he's lying right to your face, which is any time a Jew's lips are moving, I mean, at least 90-something percent of the time, if not 100 for most of them, they're lying. They only are saying that they don't, that they can't mongrelize and need to be pure is because they're pretending they're us, number one. And number two, that little nation over there can't fit many more people. So, he says he steals it from men. However, in mongrelization, the satanic dead vampire is manifest in what we have believed was Jewry's white blood corpuscles. In man, they are round, yet shaped differently for each race. Are you paying attention? See, I just told you the blood is not all the same. They lied to you again. The satanic dead vampire is manifest in what we believe was Jewry's white blood corpuscles. In man, they are round, yet shaped differently for each race. That is one reason God established the divine law for various races not to mongrelize. In Jewry, however, the white blood corpuscles are long and stringy, and divine law forbids all humanity to mongrelize with the devil's serpent race, because the children will in turn be vampire and totally cut off from God. Yes, you heard that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to read that again. I know you probably say, why you got to keep reading things again? Because your mind drifts. I know how a man is. I'm going to get this message through to you one way or another. And if I have to repeat to do that, that's what I'll do. In Jewry, however, the white blood corpuscles are long and stringy and divine law forbids all humanity to mongrelize with the devil's serpent race, because the children will in turn be vampire and totally cut off from God. In times past, the serpent race absorbed entire nations in order to renew the life force in their bone marrow. I hope you're listening. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19, and Isaiah 49, 20 show the vampire condition. The latter states, "And I, God, will feed them that oppress thee, Israel, with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I am Yahweh and thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Isaiah makes it plain that he is speaking about the counterfeit race of Satan, who we know are Jews, or as Jews. In Isaiah 14, 29, 27, 1, 65, 25, he mentions them as the serpent, which is written in the Hebraic to mean the counterfeit race of the original material beast who we know as Satan. Let me read that again. He mentions them as the serpent, which is written in the Hebraic to mean the counterfeit race of the original material beast who we know as Satan. The same as the father of the Luciferian beast in Ezekiel 28, in Isaiah 49, 26, the word feed is akal in the original Hebraic. It means to consume away. If Isaiah had meant the serpent race would turn cannibal and feed on itself, the word feed would have been nahal. If they were thrown into jail, as in Revelation 20, and given Jew flesh to eat, when they were asked for food, when they asked for food and said, "Feed me," the word would have been lat, L-A-A-T. If they could feed themselves and they were given Jew flesh or any proper nourishment, the word feed would have been kul, K-U-L. Isaiah therefore graphically shows when Zechariah 14:21 and Revelation 20:1-3 are consummated, the serpent race of Jews will be isolated from humanity, and the faculty of Jewry's bones to produce blood corpuscles will gradually be lost until the race will stagger from weakness, which will gradually consume the Jews. Now let's pay attention, please. Mongrelization with man is essential so Jewry can renew the depleted life force. I'll say it again. Mongrelization with man is essential so Jewry can renew the depleted life force. Extensive mongrelization can change the outward appearance so much that the Jewish characteristics are difficult, if not impossible, to perceive. When that occurs and Satan is about to transform himself into a human automatically possessing the life force of God, divine law intervenes and the next generation reverts back with all the physical characteristics known as Jewish, and that line of Satan is entirely sterile. Praise be to Yahweh. Praise be to Yahweh. You see, Captain Kirk is a Jew, but he doesn't look Jewish. Spock is a Jew, and he definitely looks Jewish. There are many Jews that don't look Jew. That's what he's telling you here. The vampire condition is in three categories and they are spiritual and material. The first phase is as above. Secondly, the instinctive craving to murder man spiritually. It is accomplished by subtle suggestions, which causes a man to think erroneously, which generates a destructive electrocosmic field of oscillatory disequilibrium and in his brain cavity, which thrusts him out of conscious contact with God and spiritual spirit, and it spiritually kills him. Let me read that again. So the mongrelization is the physical way they destroy. The vampire condition is in three categories, and they are spiritual and material. The first phase is as above, the mongrelization. Secondly, the instinctive craving to murder man spiritually. You do see that they have that craving, do you not? It is accomplished by subtle suggestions. Where would we get these subtle suggestions? On the television, the media, recorded music. Remember what I read last week? You see? Subtle suggestions. The serpent is the most subtle beast of the field. You see, he's a beast of the field, like I told you. They're not man like you and I. I told you they are a beast of the field, like the blacks are the beast of the field. And all the rest. Okay, it is accomplished by subtle suggestions, which, you know, that would be subliminal suggestions, you see, through the television. Working on your mind, getting through to your mind through Talmud vision, through repetition of the same subtle suggestions. Suggestions in ads that you see in magazines and newspapers. And on it goes. This is what the scribes of the Kehillah do. The mutes obviously are there to stop anything that's being said against Jewry in the main media or in books or whatever. That's what the mutes would do. I just thought I'd let you know. And I'm sure they do much more than that. So it is accomplished by subtle suggestions, which causes man to think erroneously, which generates a destructive electrocosmic field of oscillatory disequilibrium in his brain cavity, which thrusts him out of conscious contact with God and spiritually kills him. That field can be measured with electronic instruments, and scientists know it is directly the presence of that field which makes man's body deteriorate and eventually die of old age. Jewry is greedy to shed man's blood in murder and wars. John 8:44 again, Matthew 23:35. The third phase of the vampire condition is the stealthy approach unto man on his snake belly of sham worship of God and being the chosen people of God. Get that. The third phase of the vampire condition is the stealthy approach unto man on his snake belly of sham worship of God. Remember, I told you, and being the chosen people of God. Remember, I told you that these religions or these Jews pretend they worship Yahweh. They pretend they go by the Torah. They pretend that they are us. They pretend they're a pure people that hasn't race mixed. They pretend with their little pretend holidays. They pretend they don't eat pork when they do. Drawing near an intended victim amidst the darkness of misrepresented brotherhood. Hello! Liberalism. Hello! Equality and fraternity. Hello! Have I been talking about this? Listen, now this will even clarify more of what I've told you about equality, fraternity, and, liberty. Drawing near an intended victim amidst the darkness of misrepresented brotherhood. Misrepresented brotherhood. The brotherhood of Christians and Jews that was talked about here. The brotherhood of Christianity, the Jewish version of Christianity. Remember that the Pope, the Catholic religion, said that the Jews are our elder brothers. And then the rabbis snapped back and said, we don't want to be the elder brother because God always favors the second. He doesn't like the first offspring. You understand? Drawing near in an intended victim amidst the darkness of misrepresented brotherhood, liberalism, which is liberty that I'm talking about. Liberalism is the liberty they're talking about. Liberalism meaning that women are equal with men, all races are equal, homosexuals are accepted in society, etc. Then you have the equality and fraternity, which is that brotherhood. He hypnotizes the victim with a flickering, spiritually black forked tongue of exaggerated friendliness and human feeling. And by the time he is striking distance, the victim is mentally paralyzed in respect to Jew chicanery. Then, without any resistance, the serpent swallows the victim by first marrying into his family, then absorbs it in mongrelization in efforts to steal the life force put in it by God. You know I have to read that again, don't you? I told you the Jews have to race mix. I have no doubt that they are all race mixed. This is a confirmation. This is so you'll know Jews can't be saved, you see, Mr. Mars. Devils aren't going to be saved. Then, without any resistance, the serpent swallows the victim by first marrying into his family, then absorbs it in mongrelization in efforts to steal the life force put in it by God. Racial characteristics of men are ignored by the serpent race. Is that true? Racial characteristics of men are ignored by serpent race. Is that not what they tried to teach us to do and were successful now? Don't look at a man or judge a man by his race or his color or his religion. Unless he's Christian, then you definitely want to judge him. I mean true Christian, not Jew Christian. Racial characteristics of man are ignored by the serpent race. Oh, yes, that is true. Oh, yes, it is true. It is interested in stealing the life force put in man by God. While that's what the vampire is doing when he bites the neck of the woman or a man. You'll notice that after the blood is drawn out of the victim by the Jewish vampire, you'll notice that the person is now controlled and has a link to the vampire and is in a state of hypnotism or whatever. You've seen it. You've seen these vampire shows. You've seen these vampire movies, whether they're old or new. You and I thought it was just a little horror movie, a genre, and of no truth whatsoever. But in reality, it couldn't be more true. They even do drink blood. For real. So it is interested. Jewry is interested in stealing the life force put in man by God. While doing it, he steals every important thing man creates.
Because the Jew creates nothing, you see.
The prophet Ezekiel calls that characteristic a cormorant, which is a bird, because there is no Hebraic for a vampire bat. While preying on man, that vampire race utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to assist to elevate him to the zenith of spiritual attainment. Isn't that what Joel Osteen, John Hagee? What's that vampire-looking guy there? There's a whole bunch of them. Aren't they trying to assist them to the highest of spiritual attainment? Or whether it be the Indian theosophical fellow or whatever it might be, the Christ. The prophet Ezekiel calls that characteristic a cormorant because there is no Hebraic for vampire bat. While preying on man, the vampire race utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to elevate him to the zenith of spiritual entertainment. Attainment, excuse me. Now, I've read this before, but I'm just going to read it again. 2 Peter 2:11, 12 throws light on the condition when he says, "Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before Yahweh, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." The original Greek for that word natural is phusikos. It means things born in one. Brute is alogos, or without life. Beast is zoon. Remember that from Revelation? A living creature. Made is geneo, or conceive. Bring forth in childbirth. Take is halosin, or with a view to capture. Destroyed is elsphytherin, or corrupt. Perish is captherio, or to corrupt utterly. Thus the original, pay attention please, thus the original declaration of Peter is, this is the crux of this message today, I would say, and I've given this before, but it doesn't hurt to remind you. So what it translates to really is, these living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth, with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. One more time. These living dead things are conceived. This is speaking of the Jews, the offspring of the devil, the tares, the goats, Esau, Edom, the Edomites, the Nephilim. These living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Is that not what the devil and his children do? They take and they make hybrids. What happened when the angels fell in the book of Enoch, or even in the Bible itself? They taught man how to have sex with animals. They taught man how to make things of war, how to put women, makeup on women. They mixed with our women, which was a race mixing. They corrupted mankind back at that point. This is the reason why Yahweh brought forth the flood. Just remember that the devil, when Yahweh brought Adam and Eve forth, the devil was right there to try to destroy it and did heavy damage to our race immediately. He was at the doorstep immediately. Nothing has changed since then. His children are at the doorstep. They're doing it to our children as they're born. They're doing it if they get through the abortion table and don't have to get killed that way. What they'll do is they'll indoctrinate them starting at age 3 and corrupt them. If that doesn't work, they'll use their media to corrupt them. If that doesn't work, they'll put them to war to fight their wars, telling them that they're fighting for the freedom of their country, when in reality, they're fighting for the Jew and to bring a central bank into a country so it can put them under bondage and tyranny and put them under a government which is the favorite of the Jews, which is called democracy. I don't want to hear any more talk about democracy being a favorable form of government. Unless you're a Jew. Okay, Peter and Jude graphically show that they are speaking about none other than Jewry. They are speaking about the same conditions. Jude 9 shows the angel is Michael and the brute beast is the devil, who, according to the personal family of record of Jewry's current god, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, was the serpent prince Nahar. The first record of that counterfeit race is in the 3rd chapter of Genesis. The word serpent in that chapter is Nakash in the original Hebraic. There are 3 ways of composing the word Nakash. The root is composed with 3 characters, the first of which is shaped similar to a round bottom W with a dot above the right hand arm. The second is similar to the pi ratio sign. These are 3 different ways to write Nakash, the serpent. The third way, the third to a very poor figure 3. Written thus, it means divine, learn by experience, observe diligently, use enchantment, and enchanter. When the word contains a dash or bar under the second and third characters, it means occult science, witchcraft, and black magic. Now pay attention right here. When a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race, fathered by the original material Satan, and the race is the racial body of Satan. In similar manner as the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people are the racial body of Israel. The serpent in Genesis 3 is written with the bars and dots under the 2 last characters to prove he is Satan's cursed serpent race of Jews. And the word Jew is Yehudim in the Hebraic, Aramaic, and Greek, which means the race cursed by God, the Yehudim, the race cursed by God, Jew, the race cursed by God. Now, Mr. Mars, if the Jews have been cursed by God, who are you to say that the Jew could be saved? Are you God? We know that the Jew will not be saved. We know that Yeshua preached in parables so they wouldn't understand. You know they have a different father than
Yeshua and Israel. You can't save devils. The word serpent makes its next appearance in Genesis 49:17. It is written without the bars and dots under the second and third characters of the Hebraic. When we study the contents of Genesis 49, we observe Israel is prophesying about Dan would become an honorable judge in the house of Israel. Nachash learned by experience, observed diligently. Okay, that's why Dan used to have the serpent as their flag. It changed to the eagle, which kills the serpent. Which is very interesting that I heard Dr. Wesley Swift talk about how the eagle takes the serpents way up into the air and drops them on the rocks to kill them. That's why we saw the eagle in Germany. That's why we saw the eagle in Rome. That's why we have the eagle in America. Even though the eagle is something that will eat dead things and we're not to eat the eagle, it's still our friend because it's a serpent killer. Okay, here's what he says here. Today, Dan is the Irish, Hollanders, Belgians, and Scandinavian people. The adder in Genesis 49:17 symbolizes the Nachash as an enchanter or enchantment. Dan's ancient coat of arms was a coiled adder standing on its tail. Kind of the one we see with Don't Tread on Me, correct? Very interesting. What? Dan is standing today while enchanting our people with secular facts that he was the scouts of the Caucasian race moving out of Eurasia towards the appointed place of 2 Samuel 7:10 and 1 Chronicles 17:9 in 220 AD. We do not have space in this study to list the books that tell the truth of whom Israel is today. It is a study in itself. Yet interested ones can obtain the list from Destiny Publishers, Haverhill, Mass., United States of America. And it's too bad we didn't have that because we could have gotten a lot of things from them. I don't think it exists anymore, but I'm not sure. Destiny Publishers in Haverhill, Mass. I've looked for it, but I haven't found it. And the Covenant Publishers, 6 Buckingham Gate, London, SW1, England. The word serpent makes its next appearance in Exodus 4:3 and 7:15, in which it is Nachash. It is written without bars or dots under the last two characters. Written thus and closely in close study of the chapters, we know the word means divine. Then, why did Moses run from it? The fire in the burning bush in Exodus 3 was divine, yet it aroused his curiosity, which brought a warning from God. We know that fire was divine because it is Esh in the Hebraic. Imagine man, one definition of man is Ish, and if you were a fireman, you'd be in Esh-ish. How do you like that, Steve? The fireman, the Esh-ish. Okay. It was the manifestation of, here he uses Jehovah, which is a defunct, incorrect term, as I've told you, made by a monk, a Catholic monk. The correct name is Yahweh. So, it was the manifestation of Yahweh's power being translated into the material plane. It was a corona of cosmic electricity, similar to the corona observed at night around the copper transmission line carrying 100,000 or more volts of electricity. In the vicinity of the bush was generated a tremendous field of cosmic energy. How he knows this, I have no idea. That is the reason Yahweh told Moses to remove his shoes, so that he would be thoroughly grounded and would not be spiritually electrocuted. Or, as the text says, the ground was holy. The Hebraic for the word holy is kodesh, or a sanctuary. Set apart, see? If that is so, then what was the serpent that frightened Moses when he cast his rod upon the ground? A portion of the answer is in that word, rod. Originally, it was mateh, M-A-T-T-E-H. It means staff. Then in Exodus 4:8, God says to Moses, "If they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, then they will believe the voice of the latter sign." The first sign was in the rod. The second occurred when Moses thrust his hand into his coat. The first word, voice, is call, Q-O-L. Imagine that, voice, call, like C-A-L-L. It means crackling. The word call is written with three Hebraic characters. The second, voice, is also call, yet it's written with only two characters, which means lightness. It verifies verse 6 as to Moses' hand was leprous as snow. Then, the first word sign is off. It means ensign. Ah, the new off, the new ensign, the new off. That's the word sign. It means ensign, badge or rank of power. The second sign is also off, but it means miracle. I've been getting a few messages. I think I should check and see. No, I'm not getting any messages. Okay. We observe, therefore, when Moses cast his shepherd's staff upon the ground, divine power changed it into the Ankh as the scepter of the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, which God conferred upon Moses. The voice of the Ankh was a crackling sound of cosmic electricity running over it. The power that was the Nakash, or serpent, which frightened Moses because he was shocked by its spiritual force. In Exodus 7, 9, 10, and 12, however, Moses cast the Ankh upon the ground in front of the Pharaoh, and the cosmic energy changed it into a serpent. That word serpent originally was Tannin, T-A-N-N-I-N. It means a howling dragon, a howling lizard, which makes a noise similar to choke you, choke you. In Numbers 21:6 and Deuteronomy 8:15 are fiery serpents. That word fiery in the Hebraic is seraph. It means burning, blazing. Sometimes it means seraphim. Both have the same meaning as something hot. That word serpent is Nakash, and it's written without the bars and dots under the two last characters. Written thus, and by close study of the chapters, one observes that serpent is an enchanter, something which enchanted the people. Now, the children of the serpent, or the children of the snake, whom we know to be the offspring of the devil, do they enchant us today? Do they not hypnotize us like the vampire who sucks the blood? Do they not, have you seen a child, or an adult even, sitting in front of the television with their mouth dropped open in some sort of a trance. As we try to reach out to our people with the truth, there is a spell upon them, an enchantment through the Nakash. There is an enchantment, a spell. In the book, Hollywood, an empire of their own, the Jews created Hollywood, an empire of their own, they brag in that book that they have put America under a spell. And they certainly have. They contrived so many realities with that device. That device was not created for evil. That device could have been used for good. But that device was taken control of by the serpent and his offspring, because they knew they could use it against us as a weapon. That's why they got all the papers, the media, Hollywood, whatever it is. They knew it was a weapon. They knew that it was a new technology that would mesmerize people. I mean, absolutely, why would you not? Video is powerful. So we made it to page 16 here, and we shall continue until this book is done. But I hope you can see that the truth is coming out right now about who these people are. You've been told these truths before, not about that they needed to race mix, but they even tell you they're vampires. Our own people in history told you they were a race of vampires. They told you that by doing child ritual murder sacrifice. They told you that when the rabbi does the circumcision, he sucks the blood. They've told you this in every way possible, and it's been right in front of your face all along. When, dear listener, when will you take heed? When will you listen? When will you wake up? When will you get off the fence and make your decision? You're going to be forced to, no matter what. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.